Hi, Kelly Wirt here with Grace-Based Families. Today's episode is going to be part of a conversation about bringing grace into the workplace. In this series of episodes, we are going to talk to leaders and innovators in the marketplace, hear their stories, and learn how living out a gracious life at work has transformed the culture of their companies, as well as improved their own experiences at work, a place where many of us spend a huge percentage of our lives. Please share this episode with anyone in your life who could use some grace at work.
Hey, everybody. It's the Grace-Based Families podcast, and you're used to hearing the voices of two incredible women, Karis Murray and Michelle Brook, as they hold court and make a big difference on this. Well, we took over their studio. This is Tim Kimmel. And my friend and co-author of this new book, Michael Tooker, my friend Michael Tooker, we decided we needed to take over this thing. We want to have a small little mini series on the book Grace at Work, and we put together a list of people to join in that conversation that can really make some sense out of this. And I want to tell you about my friend Michael and my co-author. Michael was from the beginning set on a trajectory in the family he was raised to operate in the marketplace in the thin air, the high levels of executive leadership, and he climbed that ladder. It went up fast, but in the process, though, he learned some lessons the hard way, and you'll learn about those in the book. But also, he found a missing ingredient in the whole thing, and it was a person named Jesus. And when he came in, Jesus said, we're going to do some complete redefining of the way you think and the lens you look through. And he showed him that that there was a major element in his life and in his work that had been missing, and it's God's applied grace. And so he and I teamed up, and we've written a book called Grace at Work, The Secret of Getting More from Your Job Than a Paycheck. And I'm going to stop talking because Michael's sitting right here and he needs to speak up. Hi, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Great to be here with you and with Ashley. And simply put, God reached in, ripped out my heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh. And through a great deal of help from you and the ministry there that you run, I learned a whole lot about God and his infinite grace. And I'm really excited to have Ashley on our podcast today. And I want to set this up a little bit before you do the formal introduction of Ashley. But in the book, we Tim and I talk about what we call the WINS model, W-I-N-S, and that stands for weaknesses, interests, necessities, and strengths. And really what we talk about is everybody has a unique set of WINS. And the degree to which we approach everybody around us, whether we work for them, with them, they work for us, doesn't really matter. But the degree to which we approach people with a desire to bring out the best in them and how we handle those wins is either going to really set them free and help them elevate and change the culture around us, or it may hold them captive and suppress them and hold them down. And the reason I'm so excited about Ashley is she has built a whole company around, if you think about these weaknesses, interests, necessities, and strengths, she has built a whole company around finding people that have real strengths. At the same time, many of her employees have some real necessities. Many of these women are professionals turned moms that are maybe stay-at-home moms that wanted to still, you know, kind of remain in the workplace in some way and didn't have the opportunity to do that. Well, Ashley built a whole company founded on finding these people and setting them free and meeting these necessities and helping them and then bringing out really their strengths, and she's done it to just a remarkable degree, and so we're really thankful. So Tim, maybe do a quick intro.
Yeah,
let
me tell you again. Ashley Richards is a very dynamic, versatile marketing executive. This girl has 15 years of experience executing digital strategies that transform businesses. You know, her past clients have been Fortune 500 companies and fitness facilities, physical therapy offices, large shopping centers, all this stuff. But her extensive experience combined with her passion for marketing allowed her to bring her clients a tremendous success in the online world, which, by the way, if you don't know how to do that, you're going to have a hard time doing business. But the fact is, most people don't know how to do that. Ashley figured out. And so in 2017, she launched E-Squared Marketing to provide creative digital solutions and heightened value to small and medium-sized businesses. And regardless of your needs, they provide a fresh perspective, creative yet pragmatic leadership to lead your business to success. She's an amazing girl, and we're glad to have you on board. Ashley, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, guys. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you because, you know, we've known you. I've known you over the years, and I know the family you married into, and it's amazing all that happens in our lives when there's this old saying, you're either doubled or halved on your wedding day. I think you both quadrupled each other on your wedding day, and it's been fun to watch. But let's get in. I want to tell everybody about the role you play in your company, and specifically your role, E-Squared Marketing. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, I've been in marketing for a long time, and I married my sweetheart in 2011. And you're right, Tim, I married into the best family. I really got a whole family overnight, which is what I was missing for a long time in my life. So I'm so grateful for the holes that they filled besides just an amazing husband. But I married my sweetheart. I had two kids. They're 17 months apart. And I was faced with that question that a lot of moms are faced. I'm on maternity leave. And am I going to go back? Am I going to go back to this corporate job that I loved so much? I loved my job. But then I would be gone for my kids 40 hours a week. And I would be dropping off my precious babies to somebody that I didn't know. And that really didn't sit well with me. And I juggled with this. But I knew in my heart that I was a working mom. I was meant for this. I loved what I did. So I didn't want to give up my career, but I also didn't want to give up motherhood. And so I was in this crossroads in my life, and I'm like, man, what am I going to do? And so, you know what? I decided to do both. I quit my job and I started doing consulting. And I can't tell you how many phone calls I've had with my sliding door shut. My kids are there watching TV with popcorn or, you know, little snacks. And I'm on the phone outside with a client, you know, just making sure they know that I'm available and I'm here. And then I go right back in to make lunches and take care of my kids. And so this whole journey evolved. And I was getting referrals left and right. And it was just me. And at the time, I was actually in MOPS. At Scottsdale Bible, and I was talking to some friends there that I was overwhelmed. I had a lot of work and not enough hands to do it all. And several of them said, hey, I actually have a marketing background and I'm a stay-at-home mom right now. I'd love to help you if you're okay with me working from home too. And I'm like, of course, I'm doing it, you do it. And so E-Squared was born, and E-Squared is actually named after both my kids. Both my kids start with the letter E. So it really was built on the foundation of family, and that's where we started. And so today I have 28 team members. They're across the entire nation. A majority of them are working moms, and we work with about 60 clients across the nation as well. Not are all local, they're all across the board, but we've really built this incredible culture that welcomes motherhood. You know, our meetings as a team are fun because I see moms feeding their kids in high chairs. They've got little kids climbing all over them, or they're in the pickup line. But man, these women work harder than anyone I know, and they love what they do. And seeing them kind of bridge the gap between motherhood and business is all I've ever wanted. And it's been fun to empower them and encourage them that they can do both and they can do it well if you have the right foundation to do it.
That's great. Well, and I would say that must go with challenges, right? Anytime if you have 28 people and everybody's kind of coming with a, you know, kind of a different set of circumstances and needs, maybe talk about what were some of the biggest challenges, and how have you had to maybe let's say accommodate some of these different people and some of their unique needs, and how, like, as you think about your faith and maybe how God has dealt with you and God has shown you favor, are there any parallels between your relationship with God and also how you've tried to live that out with your staff?
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely challenges, and I'm still navigating it, because when I started this business of working from home model, this was way before the pandemic, and it was weird. It was weird that we were fully, this remote office, and it just was unique. And so coming up with that and the obstacles that come from that was really interesting. And, you know, some of the challenges is digital moves very quickly, right? Social media is very fast. And so building our structure of our company so that we could accommodate clients quickly, but still accommodate our needs as moms was really challenging for us to do. So that was one piece of navigating that. We've got some team members that have some special needs kiddos. And so how do we help encourage them that they can handle the workload that they're handling, but still prioritize their kids' needs, especially when it comes to medical appointments and things like that. So it's been really interesting to navigate what that looks like and what works well. And so this team collaborative effort seems to be what worked best for us is, you know, we have multiple people on one account. And so we all work together as a team to deliver for the client. And usually when that happens, man, we're almost a 24-hour operation by the different times that everybody's available. And so it works to the benefit of our clients and our team, this whole buddy system concept. So that's what we've figured out. And we've actually helped companies learn how to do this, right? We've had clients that have gone remote and they're like, how do you do this? How do you manage your team remote? And so we've kind of navigated it over the last 7 years on how to make the pieces mold together. But it is, it's definitely unique.
Well, you know, right now, the marketplace is dealing with two problems that some people try and blame it on the pandemic, but I think they were well in the momentum was moving in this direction anyway, and it became a catalyst to magnify them. But because the marketplace is not nearly as accommodating for the average person that's trying to make a living. And there are businesses out there that could care, honestly, they could care less about your marriage and your children as long as they're hitting the bottom line. That's probably an extreme statement, and obviously, you know, it's easy to demonize the extreme. But there's also things in between. And now we're dealing with this thing called, the Great Resignation. Where just so many people are just saying, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to work. And a lot of that's because the work climate, you use the word climate, is not conducive to wanting to come and stay there and work with people. Whereas God put us in a position where we can bring His heart of grace to work with us and change the temperature in a room radically. There's another new term, it's called quiet quitting. Mm-hmm. Where people are not quitting their job, they're just putting forth much of an effort. They're doing whatever the minimum can be done and not get fired because their heart's not in it. And by the way, I can understand there's a whole lot of reasons why, but many times it's because the marketplace worked against them at a relational level. It was not drawing them in. Whereas I think in our book Grace at Work, we're showing how there's a chance for us to do something, whether we're the tiny little cog in a wheel of a gigantic thing, or we a manager, or we own the company, where we can bring something to work with us that that really changes the dynamic and how we deal with the people. And sometimes we have to deal with people that are pretty rough to deal with.
Yeah.
Whether it's a customer or fellow worker. And that's why there's a little nugget in the middle of the book that Michael loves to talk about, this wins model. How do we help people get more wins on the book?
At Grace-Based Families, we're all about helping people bring God's grace to the forefront of all areas of their lives. And this includes our lives at work. Whether you work from home, work in an office, or are running your own business, how we treat the people we work with can define the culture around us and make or break how we experience our lives at work. Our ministry is excited to be launching a great new resource called Grace at Work, a book by Tim Kimmel and Michael Tooker. Find out more about the book at graceatworkbook.com. Now back to the Grace-Based Families podcast.
Well, yeah, I mean, as you were talking about that, Tim, I think the thing that really resonated is, and we talk about this in the book too, is this the way we define grace, right, is unmerited favor or giving somebody something they deserve or desperately need but may not deserve. And I think, Ashley, the way you describe that is when people come to you, the typical corporate setting, the typical corporate culture doesn't give people the flexibility with their schedule necessarily. It doesn't give them the ability to go part-time, but it sounds like you've created a whole organization that has, you've really shown unmerited favor to your people. And my guess would be you have a great degree of loyalty. I mean, maybe talk about the culture and the sense of loyalty and what your maybe turnover has looked like in the face of this great resignation. Because my sneaking suspicion is you've seen some different trends at your company.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I get about 15 to 20 resumes a month of moms that want to work. And so the great resignation is not an issue here because of the culture and the community of embracing motherhood and embracing this lifestyle and loving on your people. And that's why I love this book so much, because it is, you can be a good boss and still love your people and love them well.
Right.
That's what you need. And I want their best work. And that may not come from 8 to 5. And I don't need them 8 to 5. Right. I want them to be there to pick up their kids and never miss a baseball practice and be there for those special needs kids that have all those appointments. But they still want to escape their mind and still bring value to their family. And so we have a plethora of talent, and we scoop up some incredible talent that just want this balance. So if a business has the opportunity to have this kind of flexibility, they're leaving a lot of talent on the table by turning away from moms, right? If that's not a part of their business model, because it's incredible what we're able to do because of the love that we have for each other and the grace that it's shown. So you're right, Michael, we don't have any turnover. I mean, throughout the entire pandemic, I've had one mom call in sick in 3 years, and it was because her daughter poked her eye and she had an eye infection, so she couldn't look at her computer screen. But that's it, one time, because they love what they
incredible.
Do and they're able to care for their kids. And so I think if you have this blended opportunity of lifestyle, you're going to have more satisfied team members. You know, life happens. Can you accommodate that? Can you be that warm place for them?
Sure. But it must be, I mean, obviously with 28 employees, people have weaknesses, right? They have their rough edges. Maybe talk about how some of the challenges in terms of kind of protecting, because one of the things we talk about in the book is we should protect our employees or our colleagues' weaknesses and really try to bring out their strengths. I mean, talk about maybe some things that you do when you see weaknesses in some of your employees. How do you augment those people or help them?
And before you weigh in on that, let me make a qualification to the question that Michael just did, because as we were talking, I'm thinking, but people are listening saying, you're making Grace sound like it's all gushy and warm and all. But you still have to be a boss. You still have to hold people accountable to their work. What people many times people confuse grace with nice.
Yes.
They're not synonyms. Nice is a human trait, but grace that comes from God, it has to do hard things sometimes, and there's still place to give tough reviews on people, but you do everything graciously, and behind it is that word that you mentioned, Ashley, love. Because all grace is love in action. So with that in mind, take Michael's question. How do you
respond? It was not easy, especially with a remote office, right? I can't walk over to someone and look over their shoulder and say, hey, how's this project going? So it's a lot harder. So last year we launched KPIs, key performance indicators. And so our team manages their own KPIs, and each team member has a leader that's involved, their manager, to oversee them. And so if they ever go into the yellow or the red, which is typically their weaknesses, those are opportunities for coaching. And so this cool tool has been amazing. So instead of me saying, hey, Tim, you're not hitting your goal in this area, we say, hey, Tim, it looks like you're going in the yellow here. Let's talk about some additional coaching here. What tools can we give you for your toolbox to get that in the green a little bit more? Where do we need some additional education? There's tips and tools and resources we can help you hit these goals. And that has been a game changer for our business. And these KPIs were not easy to create. They're not easy to manage, but this allows us to really focus on the business and take a little bit of the personal approach out of it, because I don't want to hurt my team, but I still have to keep them accountable.
Yes.
So instead of saying, I feel like you're coming short in this, I say, Tim, your KPI is reflecting that you are a little down in this area. What can we do to increase that? So taking the emotion out of it and keeping it for business, but then showing them love on how we can get that in the green, because everybody wins when they're in the green, has been huge in helping make sure that we're keeping our team accountable, but getting them where they need to be too.
Well, and there's a subtlety to that, which I love, which is, you know, if you try to manage someone's performance by the numbers and you haven't built the credibility and the relational capital with them, it's easy for somebody to reject it and say, you know what, I'm not really interested in what you have to say, Ashley. But because the way you brought them in, you're leveraging their strengths, you've given them this great degree of flexibility, my sense would be, at least my experience having spent, you know, 30 years in the workplace, is when you have that kind of relational capital built, they'll run through walls for you. So when you give them that hard feedback, they want to hear it because they know you care about them. And they know you're not saying, I just need you to drive results so that I can put more money in my wallet. You're saying, hey, I want you to be successful. We're here to serve our clients. And if you can do this a little bit better, we can better serve our clients. And so there's real power in doing that, building the relationship, mm-hmm. having the credibility. And then when you ask things hard, when you have those hard conversations with people, they're receptive to it, right? And they hear you and they respond to it well. So I think that's great. That's a wonderful thing.
You know, our book, Grace at Work, is basically saying, I can summarize it in one sentence, and it's, why don't you treat the people you work with the way God treats you? Mm-hmm. Because, see, if we come to work with our human framework, it's usually, I'll treat you the way you treat me, or it'll be tit for tat, it'll be scorekeeping, I'm coming to work for what I can get out of work rather than what I can bring to it. But grace comes along and God says, wait a minute, I've called you. The biggest thing I want you to do is I want you to love people the way I've loved you. Jesus said this before he, at the last supper with his 12 disciples. And when you think about that, these guys were not the easiest guys to love. And they did not necessarily respond well to Jesus along the way. And yet he continued to do something for them and believe in them and desire their best and draw the best out of them. And when we make a commitment to play that role, regardless of where we sit in a corporate scene, you sit at the top, but there's some people that are just, you know, working their way up the ladder. Regardless, it's amazing the contagion that grace has on the bigger picture and the bottom line. But by the way, this book is not about going and jamming Jesus down people's throat and inviting everybody to church and putting Bible verses up all over your cubicle. That's not, we're not getting paid to do that. But we are called by God to go to work and view people through the same lens that he views us. And when we do, I think
something that resonates with me is God loves us on our hardest days.
Yes.
And so I'm very intentional on loving my team on their hardest days. And so if I find a team member that's off, they're not performing at their best, or they're late at something, I will usually pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm checking in. How are you? 99% of the time, something else is going on in their life. They've had a hard time they've got a sick kiddo, a kiddo was in their bed all night, or they had a flat tire, they're having some medical issues. And it's just that extra step of saying, hey, you're off. I want to check on you. Yeah. How are you? And man, we turn it around so quickly. We get the team and the support that they need. And so oftentimes as executives or leadership, it's so quick to just be like, well, Tim's not hitting his deadlines, or Michael, you're behind. Well, what's the root of that? There's usually something. And that constantly reminds me is God is there on our hardest days. And I want to be there for my team on their hardest days too. Cause that's when you get their loyalty, is when you're there, when they're dragging.
Absolutely. And I love the way you describe that, is when Tim and I talk about this notion of what is love, because love's a tricky word to use in the workplace, right? Because it can get misconstrued. But the way Tim's always defined it is the love is the commitment of my will to your needs and best interests, regardless of the cost to me. And so when your employees have a hard day, what you're basically saying is, I'm going to join you in that hard day, and I'm going to make my day a little bit harder because it's in your needs and best interests for me to meet you there and help you, right? And so I love how you just it's a very sacrificial definition of love. And it sounds like that's the way you love your people. And in response to that, they're probably very, very extremely loyal. And it probably, is it fair to say, Ashley, that loving your people that way gives you a greater sense of purpose and fulfillment in your work?
Oh, tenfold. I mean, what we do, we don't save lives, right? We're in marketing, which we love what we do, but sometimes I have to bring that down to the reality too, because these women are so passionate and they love what they do so much. But sometimes I'm like, it's okay. It's okay to have a rough day. It's okay that things might be a little delayed on your end, and just giving them that little bit of grace in whatever chaos they're dealing with at the moment is huge. And that is how you get your loyalty and the value and the partnership and relationship that you have with your team. And that little bit of extra effort isn't much as a leader, but you're going to get more out of them, and you're going to get so much more happiness out of them knowing that you're on their team and that you're okay with things maybe not going perfect in this rough season or whatever is going on in their life. And just taking those extra steps to do it and checking on them is huge.
But you're right. You'll get more out of them, but you also get more out of it, the job, for you personally. I think when we make God's grace one of the defining features of how we're going to deal with the people up close to us, it just changes our jobs. It becomes far more than just getting a paycheck. And and I think it's an answer to the quiet quitting. It's an answer to the great resignation that so many companies are now contending with. And at our book is, I think it's going to help a lot of these companies see what's been missing all along. But I need to ask you one more question. You know, you're a business leader, deeply involved in the front lines of your business. Now, if you could go back 5 years, knowing what you know now, and give yourself some advice, what would it be? Knowing what you know now, if you could go back 5 years ago.
It sounds so cliche, but it's so true. Don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
I remember mistakes would happen, you know, and you guys know me, but I'm a very type A personality. And so.
No, really? I mean,
yo. That's a hard time.
By the way, here's what I worry about for you. after this podcast gets out there, you're not going to be getting people wanting to work for you. You're going to have a bunch of companies wanting you to work for them, because when they realize what a gold mine you are. But I hope you stick with E-Square. But go ahead, respond.
It's sweating the small stuff. You know, when I first started, my type A personality, I wanted to do everything, and everything needed to be perfect. And this is the business that I'm running. And I had a business mentor along the way tell me that I was in the way. I needed to get out of the way. I've got to grow leaders. I have to have people stepping up that are going to be taking over some of my responsibilities, because I'm never going to grow this business or never be able to mentor more moms, which is what I've loved to do now, unless I get out of the way. And so I've learned to get out of the way, and I've learned that mistakes are going to happen. And instead of me getting emotional and being like, how did this happen? I take a breath. I reset. I know it's a small thing, not in the moment, but it is. And I pour more into my team than getting frustrated. I had a tendency of getting a little more hot-headed 5 years ago. And now I've learned to really reset and really look at the perspective and take it as a coachable moment and mentor my team and myself. Every mistake we've ever made has made us a better company, more equipped, driving better results. And so now I'm grateful for those mistakes, as weird as that sounds. Really do embrace it. But that's probably the biggest thing, is it was harder for me to accept those and really feel overwhelmed by those mistakes along the way. And I just don't react that way anymore. And I've learned that along the way, which has been helpful.
Well, one of the things we talk about in Grace at Work is the power of granting people the freedom to make mistakes. But what I love, Ashley, about the way you describe that, just to kind of circle back on something you said, is that you're evolving in your ability to lead. And it's almost as if when I think about what can God do in and through us if we're really trying to live out His grace at work, is it's part of our own sanctification, right? Because if I want to grant people the freedom to make mistakes, that's hard. Sometimes those mistakes are costly, and particularly with you as the owner, founder, owner, right? Those are directly impacting you. And so I love how you describe that, where you're getting better at it. Like, you didn't always maybe handle it the way you do now, but that's part of the journey. And so there's a lot of power in that, both in the power to grant people around you that freedom to make mistakes, but also just working through it yourself, right? You just you got to draw close to Christ sometimes and make that part of your journey with Him. So
I applaud you. And I don't ever want my team to feel scared to make a mistake, right? Yeah. I want them to be okay with it, because that's where the growth is. I want them to do big, bold things.
Right.
And it may be a big, bold mistake, but we'll never know unless they try it. And so opening that opportunity for them has been a game changer too.
Yeah, I bet. Well, especially if you want to accomplish big things. Yeah, you gotta take big risks if you're gonna try to do big things. And you've done some big things with E-Squared. So Congratulations.
Well, listen, we could go on talking for days, but we're going to have to land a plane here and put a period at the end of the sentence here and the story. But I want to thank Ashley Richards for being with us and what you've created. And E-Squared Marketing is helping a ton of people. They can find you at esquaredmarketing.com.
Yeah, right? You got it.
There you go. There you go. And from Michael and I, we just want you to know, here at the Grace Based Family Podcast, we on this team, we love our listeners. We care about you and we care about your family and your kids and the role you want to play at work. And so you can get a hold of us at family@gracebasedfamilies.com if you want to comment about anything or ask questions. But also, if you have a burden on your heart and you just need somebody to pray for you, we'd be glad to do that. And I want to thank you, Ashley, for joining in a conversation and bringing all your wisdom to bear. And I want to thank all these listeners for listening to us. God bless you all. From me and Michael Tooker and Ashley, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Based Families Podcast. This is part of Grace Based Families Ministry.
For more resources, check us out on gracebasedfamilies.com/podcast or stream us on all major podcasting platforms.
Once again, this is Karis
and Michelle.
Until next time.